The following message, Spiritual Lessons from a Poor Blind Beggar, was based on Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. This message was delivered on Sunday morning, January 28, 2018, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Randy Brevard of Grace Reformed Baptist Church, Newark, New Jersey.
So would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and I'll start the reading in verse 46. But before I read, let me just mention to you that the version that I'm using here is the New American Standard. So there will, of course, be, depending on what you have, a little slight variation on what yours might say. And also, let's bow once more in prayer and ask God's blessing upon our time before we turn to the preaching of his word. So let's bow together. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we acknowledge that we are nothing but sinful creatures. Lord, we know that we cannot do any kind of righteousness before you that will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we know that we are not individuals, Lord, who are great and marvelous people and who walk in constant integrity before you, but we are fallen humanity. And we understand, O God, that unless you come upon us with your grace and with your mercy to hear and to understand your word, Lord, we could do nothing. So we pray that you would open up our minds and our hearts. Bless the word, O God, as it is preached to dead sinners, to those who do not know you. We ask, dear Father, that you will visit these people with mercy and with grace. Strengthen the people who serve you. Strengthen believers here in this place. Help us, O God, in our weakness, knowing, O Lord, that we struggle with all kinds of things. So we pray that we would be encouraged in the faith. And Lord, bless this word, because we know that these are just words upon a page that will be spoken, and unless they are visited by your Holy Spirit, Lord, they mean nothing. So bless us, O God, and hear our humble cries. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. In the heading over my Bible, it says, Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, Call him here. So they called the blind man, saying to him, Take courage, stand up, he is calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, Go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Now, as we read on the pages of Scripture, the miracles which Jesus performed forces us to stand in awe of his being. And as he is a fully man and fully God, we stand in awe of him. By those miracles, evidence and furnished that he is none other than God, the incarnate. So when Jesus Christ on the pages of Scripture performed these things, proves to us that he is God. Those miracles were performed in the presence of and upon real historical people. They impacted the lives of real individuals. And those individuals had a magnificent story to go and tell their children or their grandchildren. You think of all of these individuals whom Jesus worked these various miracles. Those whose limbs were restored. And they went back home and they rejoiced with the rest of their family. And we don't get to see. Scripture doesn't record those events for us. Of course, they go away rejoicing. But I wonder what it was like when these individuals came home. And how they lived the rest of their lives after experiencing these miracles. So not only do the miracles themselves from the perspective of the person of Christ teach us great things, but we can also learn great spiritual lessons from the perspective of the recipients of those miracles. And such lessons we can learn from the healing of blind Bartimaeus. But before we consider these lessons, let us notice in the passage a miserable condition, confrontation with hope, opposition faced and overcame, and finally, hope realized. So those are the four things we're going to pull out of this text before we get to our application. A miserable condition, a confrontation with hope, opposition faced and overcame, and hope realized. So we see here in verse 46 the miserable condition of Bartimaeus. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. The ministry of Jesus is really coming to an end here. And he is making his way towards Jerusalem with his disciples. And they are really traveling the usual route in which individuals would travel to Jerusalem, which led through the town of Jericho. In both Matthew and Mark's account, the miracle takes place as Jesus is leaving the city. But Luke records the miracle taking place as he was entering the city. And also, Matthew mentions two blind men, but Mark and Luke only mention one. So, but this apparent discrepancy must not be taken as an untruth to this account or false accounts in the gospel, but we must see them as details that had the most impact upon the witnesses as they retold these stories and as they were written down. If you would like a more developed treatment of the variation in those accounts, I would refer you to some commentaries on that. There's really no consensus on how to understand the variation in the stories that are recorded in this account. But as we have it here in Mark's account, Jesus is leaving the city. Not only is he leaving with his 12 disciples, but also with a large number of people. The Passover celebration is not far off, so a large crowd of people are following Jesus as he is making his way to Jerusalem, where he and they will celebrate the Passover feast. And of course, those who had physical infirmities would place themselves by roadways where a large number of people were passing by so they could beg for alms. And since the Passover celebration was near, more than usual traffic came through the town of Jericho, which translated into more and more gifts for those who are begging. Those who are asking for alms. So several beggars would have gathered themselves along the main streets of Jericho there. And Mark points out for us a particular beggar. This one individual who stands out really from the rest. And whose life will soon be drastically changed. We are told by Mark the name of this one individual, and he is Bartimaeus, or son of Timaeus. Now, Mark's narrative suggests, I think, that Bartimaeus was not an individual who was born blind, but somehow he lost his sight. Having been asked by Jesus in verse 51, when Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" He responds this way. He says, "I want to regain my sight." So Bartimaeus at one time may have had the full use of his eyes, and he could really behold the beauty of creation. But perhaps through disease or injury, the world had become complete darkness to him. And we can only imagine the difficulty of being born blind and having to go through life in that state. And as difficult as that might be, it might even be more difficult having had the privilege of being able to see at one point, and then to have only that sight snatched away from you for some reason. This, I think, might be a heavier burden. You know what you are missing. So this was Bartimaeus' burden. Bartimaeus' life was a life of tragedy and disappointment. He is a man who could never accomplish what he hoped to accomplish in his life. What he perhaps dreamed of doing as a young child, he could never do. If he lost his sight, maybe as an older man, maybe everything that he once had, he acquired for himself through his job and through working, he might have lost all of those things. Because as a blind man, he cannot take care of them. He cannot care really much for himself. He cannot work. In a day when you didn't have all kinds of government assistance to help you if you had some kind of infirmity or you couldn't provide for yourself. How can a blind man care for anything in those difficult days? So instead, he finds himself blind, helpless, and an outcast of society. And the only thing that Bartimaeus could do is take a position daily on the roadside to beg to support himself. The best that he could ever hope for in his life is day after day is to sit by the roadside and hope that individuals as they passed by him would take pity upon him and give him their money or goods. That was his life. That was his miserable condition. But then Bartimaeus is confronted with hope. He's confronted with hope. And verse 47 says, when he heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And Luke's account really is more detailed. In Luke 18, verses 36 and 37. It says this, "Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by." So Bartimaeus was able to distinguish between the normal hustle and bustle that was going on in the day. And he noticed a more intense commotion developing around him. He could probably hear the decibels of the voices as they began to raise as people were coming by past him and they were all gathered around Jesus. He could hear a great commotion going on. And perhaps Bartimaeus could even feel the vibrations from the ground from all of these people who were walking by. He could feel their footsteps. He could probably hear the dirt being kicked around on the ground and the scuffling of the feet as the masses approached. And it is obvious to Bartimaeus that something was going on. Some kind of excitement is occurring. So he begins to question, what is going on here? What's happening? Perhaps he might have thought that it was some kind of danger approaching that he needed to get himself away from and remove himself from. But instead, he is told that Jesus, the Nazarene, is passing by. So now by this time, the stories of the miraculous works of Jesus had spread through all of Palestine. So among the common people, Jesus of Nazareth is a full-blown celebrity. And Bartimaeus is also aware of the miraculous deeds of Jesus. So now he learns that there is no danger that's really approaching him, but that this great miracle worker is only just feet away from him. And this knowledge moves him to great hope. So after years of living in all kinds of despair and misery and hopelessness as a blind beggar, he now is literally just feet away from the one person who could change his life drastically. And Bartimaeus is filled with hope. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. He may never have this chance ever again to see Jesus Christ and to be healed. So he does the only thing that he can do as a poor blind beggar. He gathers some air into his lungs because he must be louder than the crowd. He must speak over all of these individuals who are gathered around Jesus, expecting probably their own miracles. Bartimaeus must be louder than these individuals. And then he cries out in desperation and he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me." And surely Bartimaeus would have been confronted with the thought that these eyes that are dead to the world and after years and years of begging by the roadside can soon be over. If I could only get the attention of Jesus of Nazareth. Hope must have filled his soul as he had an opportunity to come face to face with the one true living hope. And that's the kind of hope that leads him to cry out at the top of his lungs, "Son of David, have mercy on me." But then Bartimaeus is faced with some opposition. Opposition is faced, and opposition is also overcome. Notice again, verses 48 to 50. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up, he is calling for you." And then throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. See, the cries of Bartimaeus at first were an irritation to those who were all surrounding Jesus. The followers took it upon themselves to silence him. Perhaps they felt that Jesus had greater things to attend to than to pay attention to this poor, lowly, blind man. So they press him to keep quiet. They sternly instruct him, the scripture says, to quiet down. "Bartimaeus, you shut up. You be quiet." Perhaps with all kinds of frustration and anger, the crowd attempts to silence Bartimaeus. But Bartimaeus would have none of it. He would not be silenced. He refused to remain in the background and go back to the side of the road. It would have been easy for Bartimaeus just to say, "Oh, you know what? I'm just a poor blind man. and kicks the dirt and he walks away, goes to sit back down on the side of the road because of all of these individuals who are telling him to be quiet, sternly warning him, get away, we don't have time for you. There's more important things that Jesus might have to attend to. But Bartimaeus says no. He cries out all the more, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Bartimaeus is a desperate man in a desperate condition. And he will not be deterred by these individuals. He will not be denied. So he raises his voice even louder. Blocks out all of these individuals who are telling him to be quiet. And he says, I'm ignoring you. I don't care what you say. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And this is the very thing that gets Jesus' attention. It is almost as if Jesus had no choice but to respond to Bartimaeus. Verse 49, and Jesus stopped and said, call him here. Now that Jesus gives him his attention, gives his attention to Bartimaeus, the disposition of the whole crowd really changes. They are suddenly very helpful people. They're encouraging him now. And now he becomes the center of attention. And the crowd becomes eager and willing to allow Bartimaeus access to Jesus Christ. And this is, of course, the moment that Bartimaeus has been waiting for. Having been summoned by Jesus, Bartimaeus wastes no time and he rushes over to him in verse 50. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. Bartimaeus is a poor, blind beggar. And this cloak is probably one of his most prized possessions. This is his outer garment. Probably the one garment that he used that would keep him warm at night. Bartimaeus is not a man who can go to a place and has a dresser full of drawers, full of clothes, a closet full of different outfits. This is most likely his one outfit. And what Bartimaeus does is he throws that thing off and he heads towards Jesus. At that point in time, that garment means nothing to Bartimaeus. Here he is, ready to appear, but face to face with Jesus Christ. And that outer garment means nothing to him. And even though Bartimaeus can't see where he is going, that does not hinder him at all from jumping up on his feet and making his way over to get to Jesus. So Bartimaeus, you see, does not only overcome the crowds, but they also become his supporters. Here is this one individual with all these masses of people telling him to be quiet. And he says, no way. I have to get to Jesus. And I'm going to be louder than you, crowd. And whatever you say is not going to deter me from getting to Jesus. Bartimaeus faces the opposition of the crowd, and through his own determination to get the attention of Jesus, he not only overcomes them, but they become his supporters as well. But then there is hope realized. Hope realized. Verses 51 and 52. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. So having gained Jesus' attention, Jesus responds to him with this question. What do you want me to do for you, Bartimaeus? Or what do you desire of me? Jesus doesn't assume Bartimaeus' need, though he clearly knows. He gives him a chance to express his own desires and to express his own wishes. Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, I want to regain my sight. I want to see again. Bartimaeus is seeking his most basic need. That's his most basic need. He wants to see again. And how Bartimaeus refers to Jesus is worthy of noting. He refers to Jesus in verses 47 and 48 as the Son of David. This is a messianic title. He is acknowledging Jesus as the promised Messiah of God, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy, the one through whom God has established the throne for his kingdom forever. The Son of David. He is the descendant who was raised up and who proceeded from the line of David, who will establish the everlasting kingdom of God. So this poor blind beggar, who could see nothing with his physical eyes, had clearer vision of who Jesus really was than the religious leaders of that day. The Son of David. This poor blind beggar on a road, on this roadside, could call out for him, the Son of David. He also refers to Jesus as Rabboni, and that is another title. And the only other place that this is used is in John 20 with Mary Magdalene. When she recognizes Jesus after the resurrection, she calls him the same thing, which means teacher or master. It is a term which bestows great honor on the one to whom it is applied. So Bartimaeus, who had never met Jesus before, was convinced of his person as the promised Messiah and master teacher. That was in his heart. That was inside of him. That's who he believed Jesus was. And the faith of Bartimaeus is evident in how he addresses Jesus, and Jesus acknowledges the faith of Bartimaeus' heart. He says, go, your faith has made you well. Jesus recognizing through what he asks for and what even he is called by Bartimaeus, he asks, he recognizes the faith that is in this man's heart. And he says, your faith has made you well. Jesus is impressed with the faith of this poor blind beggar who had nothing really to live for outwardly, but what was in his heart is a true trust for Jesus Christ. Sometimes the miracles of Jesus produce faith in subjects. The miracle is performed and then comes the faith. But other times, faith leads to producing of the miracle because there is faith in the heart of Bartimaeus. The miracle is granted. Your faith, Jesus says, has made you well. And as a result of this trust and the compassion of Jesus Christ upon Bartimaeus receives his sight, and he follows Jesus. Luke's account of the event tells us that after the healing, he glorified God. So Bartimaeus became a true disciple of Jesus that day, having been healed physically and spiritually. That's really the case of Bartimaeus. That's what was going on in his life there. In those few verses, the event of this man's life. But what can we learn? What spiritual lessons can we learn from this poor blind beggar? Well, number one, Bartimaeus is an example of how one comes to Christ. Bartimaeus is an example of how one ought to come to Christ. If you really want to know Christ, and you long for his salvation, you must not be deterred by the crowds. Don't be deterred by the world and its modern thinking, which will crowd your mind and tell you to be quiet. Go back by the roadside. You're not important. If you really want to come to Christ, don't be deterred by the crowds that are out there. Don't let them or anything else move you from your path. What would have happened if Bartimaeus, if he had simply quieted down again? If those individuals who told him to be quiet, go back to your little side of the road and go beg. What would happen if he would have said, fine, whatever, I'm done, I'm going, and he leaves? Would Bartimaeus be healed? Of course not. If you want the attention of the Son of David, if you want the attention of the master teacher, then you must not be deterred by the opposition that would keep you from getting his attention. The things of this world, the cares of this world, whatever your crowd is, whatever is sternly keeping you from following Christ, you must overcome. Don't be deterred by even your family members. Don't be deterred by work or society or friends. All of these things can be deterrents to those who are seeking Christ. Don't be deterred by anything that would keep you from crying out, Son of David, have mercy upon me. I think probably one of the biggest deterrents that people have in coming to me, maybe not the biggest, but for some individuals, is time. Let me explain to you what I mean. Time. Don't set a timer for when you should get saved or if you should get saved. And what I mean by that is this. Some individuals may for a time in their life may say, all right, you know what, I'm genuinely going to search for God. And you might say, for months, I have tried, I've prayed, I've searched, I've read my Bible, I've tried to be obedient, but it seems like nothing happens. Here I am doing all of these things, and I should be saved by now. What you've done then is you set a timer and you've basically said, you know what, God, I'm going to give you 6 months. And if I'm not saved by 6 months, and then I'm done. Or God, I'm going to give you 3 weeks. I've done all of these things. I've been praying. I've been reading my Bible. I've done all these things and you haven't saved me yet. So now I'm done. You set a timer. He said, God, I'll give you 3 weeks, Lord, and if you don't save me, I'm done. Or God, I'll give you 6 months. That's all you get. Don't set a timer on your salvation. If you feel that way, friends, you really have lost the battle. And time has become your greatest opposition. You've allowed the crowd to silence you then. If you really want to be saved, be prepared and be determined to seek for the rest of your life until you find Jesus. Let that be your disposition. So if you say, Lord, I've been praying, and I've been reading and I want to be saved. And you fall on your knees and you pray and you get up and it seems like nothing's happened. You do it again tomorrow. And then if nothing happens tomorrow, you do it again the following day. And if it doesn't happen the following day, you do it again until it happens. Or until you're dead. That's the lesson that we learn from Bartimaeus. Son of David, have mercy upon me. The crowd, be quiet. Son of David, have mercy upon me. You keep going. You don't give up. And I'm going to make a 100% promise right here. That if you search for Christ, if you are unconverted, and if you search for Christ with that kind of sincerity in your heart, and you go to Him day after day after day, I guarantee you that Christ will save you. I'm guaranteeing it. You know why? Because that's what He said He's going to do. That's what He said. You come to me. You search me as hidden treasures. You will find me. But don't set a time. Don't say, I'm only going to do this for a little while and then I'm done. Keep doing it until it happens. And I guarantee you, you do that with sincerity in your heart, with real, true sincerity in your heart, and you keep going, He will save you. That's a promise. It's not my promise. It's Jesus' promise. That's what He said. I'm just resting upon what He said. So, be careful of the time. Don't let the time be the crowd that quiets you down. And as for believers here, let us not be silenced by the crowd either. Let us not be silenced by the crowd either, because we can be silenced by the crowd. Where I'm from and where you are here, we are not in the Bible Belt. Right? You know, the Bible Belt, everybody goes to church down south. That's not us. And there's all kinds of oppositions that are going to come against us in your city, in my city. And the society is trying to quiet, the crowd is trying to quiet the church. So make sure we're not individuals who are being quieted by the crowds. So when the individuals come against us, and they come against the church and against our faith, we can point them to the Son of David. And we can cry out even on their behalf, Son of David, have mercy upon them. And we can open up our mouths and speak loudly about the things of God before them. We can be the messenger. That's all we are. We're just the messenger. We give the message. Every single one of us who are saved, we give the message. That's it. Secondly, overcome that which will deny you access to Christ, but treasure those things which give you access to Him. Always overcome those things which deny you access to Christ, but treasure those things which give you access to Him. The crowds quieted Bartimaeus from calling to Jesus. They needed to be overcome, and He does. Anything that would attempt to shut down your pathway to the Savior, believers reject it. But we must treasure that which gives us access to Him. Things like the worship hour, we treasure this. Things like our prayer service, we have to treasure these things. Things like our personal times of devotion, we have to treasure those things. They give us access to Jesus Christ. That's how we receive our miracle. That's how we receive our healing from being blind, by gaining access to Jesus Christ. We throw off our cloaks and we jump up and we head towards Jesus, the Son of David. And then I notice here in the third place, always address God in the most reverent terms and with sincerity. When we are addressing God, let us always address him reverently and with sincerity. Bartimaeus calls Jesus the Son of David. Again, he calls him the Master Teacher. Jesus teaches us even how to pray. He says, "Hallowed be thy name." We hallow the name of God. So those first words as we pray, as Christians, when we pray, those first few words that we say, we hallow Jesus. We hallow our God. And I understand that sometimes it can just be a reflex because we're so used to saying it. But let's start thinking when those first words, that when we open up our prayers, remember that we are hallowing the name of Jesus, our God. So we come to him with reverence and with sincerity. You might have heard this in some segments of the Christian church. I think particularly in the charismatic movement, there was this fad that had been going around for a few years, and I think it's still going around. And they are calling God their daddy. They take that term when Jesus says Abba, Father, and they're saying that's daddy. So when they pray to him, they say I'm praying to my daddy. How irreverent is that? And I think they misunderstand what the term Abba means. It means dear father or dearest father. So there are individuals out there who are calling him my daddy, says this. Irreverent. So I can only warn you, unbelievers, Bartimaeus, he sought Jesus Christ for his most basic need. You know, his most basic need was that he needed to see again. And I tell you that your most basic need is that you need to see as well. You come to Christ. You seek him for your basic need. You seek him for spiritual sight. So may the experience that we read upon the pages of Scripture here, of this poor, blind beggar in first century Palestine, teach this advanced age about eternal life. Just this small section of Scripture, this obscure individual in history, this poor man named Bartimaeus, thousands of years ago, can teach us sitting here in 2018 some very serious and important spiritual lessons. So may we take these things to heart, whether we are believers and unbelievers, and may God give us sight. Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your great grace. And we pray, O God, that you would give us sight to see. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to behold the Son of David, and that we would cast off all of the things of this world, whatever they might be, that might hinder us from coming to King Jesus. We pray, O God, that we would be truly servants of yours. Bless the words to our hearts. Through Christ we pray. Amen.